now, down in South America, same time zone, or they're about to start in the next hour or two. They're meeting outdoors and hiding in places like Venezuela. And if you would have gone earlier into Africa, there are more than half the nations in Africa. The Christians are under some kind of threat. And several of those countries are Muslim. And if you find them, they kill them.
Amen. That's right.
And in Europe, the problem is a whole different. But you are an outcast if you're Christian. You're crazy because you've been handed over to Darwin and the whole, you know, evolutionary thing.
Right.
And then if you go into the Asian nations like China and Vietnam and other places,
North Korea,
Taiwan, Hong Kong now, more and more Christians are having to meet in secret in order to do what they're doing. And a lot of them are on the run. And we announced that last week we're supporting Worldview Ministries. And they translate the Bible into languages that don't have a Bible. And several of those projects, they don't tell you what it is because it's in a country where if it were found out, they'd hunt them down and kill them.
Yeah.
And they're in that country translating right now.
Amen.
So Americans have to keep all that in mind as we read these things. But the soft approach has killed the gospel ministry in America.
Amen.
And what I mean by soft is that it's a shallow, false gospel. What's called the gospel today is come to Jesus and he'll make all your dreams come true. Come to Jesus and all your problems will go away. Come to Jesus and he'll make you prosperous. That's what's being preached on the TV channels that are Christian. A lot of the radio programs as well. And then on the internet, all over the place. I was watching an interview for a real Bible-believing missionary in Africa, and he talked about how devastating it is when one of these word-faith Pentecostal charismatics come to town. Because they totally screw up everybody's understanding of the gospel. They've gone around preaching the gospel, explaining the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, and calling on men and women and children to repent and believe the gospel. And in comes the word of faith guy, and it's all about prosperity. It's all about how God will give you a limousine right there in the dead of Africa. Yeah. And here in America, it's everybody's so soft now, you can't say anything that will offend them. So therefore, the gospel's been watered down in the way it's presented. Anybody ever tell you to listen for the missing note? If you're a musician, especially if you're the orchestra leader or band leader or whatever, he listens for the missing note.
Yeah.
Because everybody can play the right notes most of the time, but it's when you hit that wrong note that stands out. But the real good orchestras don't miss notes either.
Amen.
See? And the missing note, a lot of times, is how Satan does his work. Read your Bible, and if you read a bad translation, a lot of times it's just what's missing.
Right.
So, confronting sin. The gospel today is being preached, and I'm telling you, I went through a training program for soul winning, and they didn't even mention sin.
Wow.
And they would just say, if you were to die right now, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? No, I don't know that for sure. Well, would you like to? Well, yes. Well, then say this prayer with me. And they would say a prayer and tell them they were saved. And that's how you get a lot of numbers. That's how you can brag about thousands of people being led to the Lord, even though your churches aren't getting any bigger because they're not really saved. They don't want anything to do with the church. And there's no call for repentance. Why? Because number one, there's this terrible, unbiblical, unreasonable, baseless claim that repentance is a work. And again, we've got a message on that. Every time you see repentance, it's God producing repentance in you,
amen,
not something you do.
Amen.
But you call on men to repent. Why? Because that means when you call on men to repent, you have, by the way, what I mean, you have presented the gospel, first of all. You have told them that Christ died for our sins. hence confronting them with their sin. That he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. That's the gospel. Now repent and believe the gospel. They don't preach that very often these days. Amen. Because it might turn them off. And then some guys are saying, they'll say, well, that's work, so we don't preach it. No, the reason they don't preach that is because it hurts their numbers. Yeah. Because people don't want to repent. So if you lead that out, you'll get more people to say the little prayer. And your numbers go up. Faith is even presented falsely. The biblical faith, our word faith, comes from fide, Latin, fide. And fide is the word that is the root for a word that's the opposite called infidelity. What is infidelity?
Not being true to someone.
Huh?
Not being true to someone.
Unfaithful. And if you are unfaithful, you're an infidel. They used to actually call unbelievers infidels. Why? Because they were not faithful. They didn't have faith and trust in Jesus Christ and the gospel. They were infidels. And because of Islam's abuse of that word, we shy away from it. Because, you know, you call somebody an infidel, they think you're a Muslim now. That's why they do it. But fide means that you're not just saying, oh, I believe Jesus, you know, he was here and he died and was buried and rose again. You are trusting in what he did. We said you're saved by works. Whose works? Jesus' works. His work on the cross. He paid the full price for sin. He is not just dead, but buried and risen. He conquered sin and death. And you knowing that, you now say, I'm going to totally trust in Jesus. He's the only one who could have and did die and pay for my sins. He's the only one who was dead and yet now liveth. He's the only one of all the quote-unquote religious leaders who is alive. That's why I'm going to trust him. And if you don't, and your faith is anything else, it's false faith.
Yeah. Okay.
The new birth, being born again, left out. They don't tell people, talk about, you know, what you need. You don't need to reform. You need to turn in repentance, believing that gospel, and you receive a new birth.
Amen.
And that new birth is the only reason you can know you're saved. Because it also then produces a new creature.
Amen.
Now, of course, that doesn't mean you're sinless and perfect. It means, though, that when you do sin, God deals with you as his child. See? There's chastisement. And your conscience, the Holy Spirit in you, works your conscience when you sin to convict you about that. All that's being left out.
Amen.
And in some cases, they'll leave some of this and not that, and some of this and not that. But it's all watering down the gospel. So, one more time for the road. Verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them for farewell, which are at home at my house. I kind of picture this. He wants to have a going away party. And that suggests a wrong motive because, again, he's wanting everybody to pat him on the back and, you know, attention, you know.
Why are you discouraging?
That's what happens to a lot of our missionaries.
Yeah.
Is they'll have this big shindig going away. And, of course, we have great missionaries. I'm not saying all missionaries, but I'm saying I've seen this. Where they're sent off with this big hurrah and all this attention. And then they go out somewhere that's basically the armpit of the world, trying to reach people, and sometimes it's one or the other of a married couple, and they get out there and they just fall apart.
Yeah.
It's so dark and gloomy, and they haven't nurtured the relationship with their spouse and with the Lord enough in preparation for this.
Yeah.
And it just kills them spiritually.
Yeah. Right.
And so that's what I picture in this. And, you know, our response today, oh, that sounds fun. You go have a ball and we'll be here when you get back, you know. And again, I'm not even saying there's necessarily anything wrong with that in our day, in our situation. But under certain circumstances, that certainly be the wrong response. And that's definitely not quite how Jesus responded. Read verse 62 with me. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You mess around and you lose your inheritance. You're not fit for the kingdom of God. Doesn't mean you lose your salvation. It means you lose your inheritance. There's going to be a day where we're going to be rewarded or lose reward. And I want to close by reading a couple of texts from the inspired words given to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. And too many Christians live day in and day out and give no thought to this fact. This is all in, if you're saved today, this is in our future. That we're all going to, it says in verse 10. If you're there, read it with me. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. See, the Bible says that every man and woman is going to be judged according to their works. The Christian isn't judged for salvation. Your sins are paid for on the cross. Jesus said, it is finished. But your works, which have nothing to do with you being saved, will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. And it says, we all must appear. Read verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Listen, God loves you. God on the cross in the person of Jesus Christ dying for your sin. And yet, you have to understand, when I stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ, and we are judged according to our works, it's not all fun and games. Amen. People don't read their Bible closely. Go study it. You'll find people say, well, I thought there'd be no more tears in heaven. Bible doesn't say that. Bible says he wipes away all tears after the great white throne judgment.
Amen.
Why? You're not going to be an automaton. And when you're standing there and you're watching somebody you love being judged and cast in the lake of fire, it might be you shed a tear.
Amen.
Why? You haven't lost your emotions. You're not inhuman anymore.
Amen.
But at the same time, because you are glorified, you have that understanding, you're going to understand God's will. And you're going to understand it's just. And you're going to understand they deserve it. And you'll say amen, even if there's tears. Same thing about your own day of judgment at the judgment seat of Christ. There are going to be Christians stand before Jesus and weep. I think the biggest thing is the most prosperous nation in the world, and so many Christians who give so little of their time and money to the ministry. And what it'd be if it stands up and says, oh, well, your income for your life was $1 million and you gave, 5,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
You're thinking, what an idiot. You're going to be so embarrassed. That's just the truth. But look over at 1 Corinthians 3. And this will close here. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 15. This judgment seat and the reward system is, the basics of it is given to us here. We're not given a lot of information. But verse 11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 12. It says, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. That's true about you. That's true about me. Whatever you're doing with your life is going to be made manifest at this judgment.
Amen.
For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. That's the terror of the Lord that we just read about. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. You're saved, you're not going to hell. This isn't about you being burned. It isn't purgatory or anything like that. But this is your works being tried by fire. And look at verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. Let's stop there. It's closed. We're done. Sounds good, right? There's another verse. Read verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I'm going to tell you, the first time I read that and every time since, I just think, I don't want to be one of those people that gets in with the smell of smoke. I just don't want to be in heaven and have nothing to show for it. Have all my works burned because I didn't live for the Lord. And even if I'm doing good works and I'm doing it for my own glory or benefit, they'll burn.
Yep, they will.
You do God's word, his way for his glory, and you're going to have some rewards.
Amen.
So you preach the gospel. Don't brag about it. Don't come in every week saying how many people, you know, and this and that, and claiming to have led people to the Lord. Now, if you lead somebody to the Lord and you want to, you know, say, hey, there's a guy named Jack, and he said he believed, and he says he's a Christian now, so pray for him. That's fine. But no, it's like I say, you don't toot your own horn, let somebody else toot it. Amen?
Amen.
So you want sweet talked into disaster or truth for the victory? If you want sweet talk, go get some book at the bookstore. But if you want truth for the victory, read the words of God and follow
Amen.
What it says about
Amen.
What you do. And you have the victory. Come on, musicians, let's sing 496 in the hymn book. Victory in Jesus. Now, I want to add this while the musicians are coming forward. Don't be mean on purpose. Don't go up and just try to upset people. You don't have to, because if you confront people with the biblical gospel and you confront them with the fact they're a sinner and they need to be saved, the Bible says the gospel offends. That's why. You're looking at somebody and saying, you're not good enough to go to heaven. People that when you ask them, I think I'll go to heaven. I think my good works outweigh my bad. I'm a pretty decent guy. You're going to upset people. So while you're not going to be mean on purpose, don't water down the gospel. Preach it straight. 496. And if you can, stand. And let's sing Victory in Jesus.
Precious blood atoning, can I read?
righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy.
Amen.
For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works.